Okay, now we're going to have Mr. Guy Chase come up and open the word to us and give us a message that's been on his heart. And our brother Guy Chase has been with us for many years and is a beloved brother, and we're so thankful to hear his word. Thank you, Guy. Thank you very much.
Well, welcome everybody. I don't know if you can you hear me very good back there? Okay. This speaking in front of people for me is out of my element. I normally work in a logging camp, and I'm used to talking to one or two people in a more personal way to tell them about the Lord Jesus. And I feel weak in the flesh. I feel inadequate to stand here before people. It's probably one of the hardest things for me that I've ever done in my life. But I love the Lord Jesus, and I like to tell people how to be saved. And that's the only reason why I stand up here. I've been here for quite a few years, and I've avoided speaking because I find it very difficult. So anyway, today, what I wanted to talk about was the witness of men and the witness of God. If we can just turn, first of all, to 1 John chapter 5. And I just want to read one verse right now. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. Now, I've given my personal testimony before of how I became a Christian. And I will say that in my case, it didn't happen right away. So what I wanted to do was to go over my testimony a little bit and then relate it to some scriptures. What I remember back, it was a time when I was in quite a bit of drugs and worldly living. I had a girl flew out from Michigan, and she wanted to talk to me about my soul because she knew that I was involved in drugs. And she told me that I needed to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, at that time in my life, I wasn't interested in religion, and I enjoyed the way I was living. A couple of years later, one of my closest friends, he became a Christian, and I laughed at him, and I mocked him, but I listened to what he had to say. He became very different, so he asked me to read a book, which I did. In the book, it showed how there was a numeric structure to the original languages of the Bible that this Russian mathematician said could not be duplicated by any man. This was the reason that this man, who was a former atheist, became a believer in the scriptures. And he became a Christian, or in other words, he became saved. I started to believe that the scriptures were not the work of man, but of God. I had no intention of changing my life, but as I read about some of the Bible prophecies, I could see that these things could actually happen at some point in time in the world. Somewhere during this time period, I had a serious motorbike accident and could have been killed. A vehicle cut us off at an intersection, and I was thrown about 40 feet down the road, and I got up and managed to walk off the pavement by myself. When I look back on this accident, I'm amazed that I'm alive and not paralyzed for the rest of my life. Because I was stupid and goofed off in my last year of school and smoked pot almost every day, I ended up not graduating. So several years later, I went to write the general education development tests to get my grade 12 equivalency. I had a conversation during one of the breaks at the testing place with a man who just happened to be a logger, and he was also a Christian. We talked for a while, and he asked me if I was saved, and I had no idea what he was talking about. I guess I must have given him my address, because I remember getting a Christmas card from him, and in it, he said to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. I still didn't understand what it meant to be saved. So here now, I think, was the third person who was telling me that I had to be saved. I didn't understand what it meant to be saved at all at this point in my life. A while later, my friend asked me to go to a gospel meeting. And I have to say, I don't think I really understood anything about how to be saved at that meeting. A man there said that if I had any questions, he was willing to talk to me. So a couple of months later, I took him up on it. This was the fourth person who I talked to, and after a half an hour of discussion about the Bible, he asked me a question. Are you a sinner? I said that I knew that I was a sinner. I would like to ask you the same question. Are you a sinner? Do you know what sin is? God's law, the Ten Commandments, shows us what sin is. Have you always loved the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and your mind? Have you always loved your neighbor as yourself? Have you ever told a lie? If you have, you're a liar. Have you ever had hate in your heart and hoped someone would die? If you had, the Lord Jesus said, even if you think it in your heart, that you're a murderer. Have you ever stolen something? If you have, you're a thief. Have you ever taken the name of the Lord in vain and cursed his name? If you have, you're a blasphemer. Have you ever bowed down to a statue and prayed to it? Then you're an idolater. Have you ever had lust towards a man or a woman in your heart? Even if you haven't committed the act, if you've thought about it in your heart, you're an adulterer. The Lord Jesus said that. These are some of God's laws, and it shows us that it is impossible to keep them. If we are honest inside of our being, we will admit that we are a sinner before a holy God. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." There's no one excluded. Every single person in this world has come short. We can't meet God's perfection, which is the Ten Commandments. It shows us that all we are is a sinner. We failed. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." What we deserve is death. to pay the penalty for our own sins, but the gift of God, the free gift, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we don't have to pay the penalty ourselves. The Lord Jesus paid the penalty. What we deserved, he paid the penalty for, and God offers to us the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So back to my story. After admitting that I was a sinner, he gave me a pamphlet about how to be saved, and he told me to go home and to get on my knees and to pray this prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, I know that I'm a guilty sinner, and I know that you died on the cross for me, and I receive you now as my Savior. So I went home, and I got down on my knees, and I prayed those words. Nothing happened. I was disappointed. I didn't know what I was expecting, so I would try again the next day. The same words, in the same place, in the same position, and again, nothing happened. Now I was really disappointed and thought that God didn't want me because I lived an evil life. I was lost, and I felt like I was at the end of my life and that nothing could change my destiny. I deserved it. I was really troubled. I read through the pamphlet about different questions about salvation, but I couldn't find an answer. And after about 10 pages, a verse from the Bible stood out on the page with big letters. Him who cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. I believe that verse was what I needed. So I reasoned in my brain, and I said to myself, okay, God, I will come one more time. And if I don't get saved this time, there's nothing there for me. I was broken, I was humbled, and I got down on my knees in the same place with the same words. Only this time I was very sincere. I knew what I deserved. And I said the same words, Lord Jesus Christ, I know that I'm a guilty sinner, and I know that you died on the cross for me. And I receive you now as my Savior. This time I immediately knew that God had forgiven me and saved me from the penalty of my sin. Something happened inside of me, and I just knew that I was now saved. So if we go back to our text, in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 9. So four different people communicated to me the gospel in various different attempts to try and tell me that I needed to be saved, but I really didn't understand it. It was only when I realized that I was a sinner that I needed a Savior. And when I was convicted in my heart and I received Jesus, that's when salvation took place within me. So here in our text, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 9, if we receive the witness of man, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God has the witness in himself. And he that believeth not God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So in verse 10, he that believeth on the Son of God has the witness in himself. I believe that when a person gets saved, according to the scriptures, the Holy Spirit comes inside of a person's life, and that we know inside that we are forgiven, that we're saved, that we've become one of God's children. How is it that we may know that we have eternal life? We receive human testimony of God's word, which I did from various different people. And the moment that we are saved, God's Spirit witnesses to our spirit that we are his child. If we look back at verse 7, okay, in this scripture it's a little bit different here, but let's see what it says. It is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. Okay, it's at the end of verse 6. So it's the Holy Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. And we can have a look at Romans for one verse. I want to show you this verse. Romans chapter 8. And verse 16. So Romans 8, verse 16. Now it says here in the King James, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. I don't agree with that English word itself, because the Holy Spirit is not it, it's himself. Other translations translate that Greek word properly, which it should see, the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We know inside of us, the moment that we're saved, that something has taken place. We receive forgiveness of sins, and we know that we're saved. Let's go to Acts chapter 10. And okay, I just want to read in here. I'm kind of jumping in the middle of a passage here, but Acts chapter 10, let's just start at verse 38 anyways. It's talking about Acts 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of these things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. So the apostles here, Peter, stating that they were witnesses of all the things which he did. Verse 40, him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even unto us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. So, he's talking there that Jesus was ordained to be the God of the living and the dead. The living are those that are the believers in Jesus. The dead are those who don't know Jesus. The Lord Jesus is going to be the judge of the Christians, and he's going to be the judge of those that are not saved. The Christians will be judged according to their service. Sin is not a part of that judgment. Sin has been paid. There's no penalty for sins for the Christians because Jesus paid the penalty for the sins. But we will be judged for our service for the Lord and rewarded accordingly. But for those that are not saved, the Lord Jesus is the judge of those that have refused his salvation. In John chapter 8 and verse 48, he said, he that rejects me and receives not my words has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So the words that we have heard will become our judge. The Lord Jesus offers his salvation free to every person in this world. And when we refuse his salvation, then we have to pay the penalty for our sins for ourselves. Verse 43, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name whoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Forgiveness. Cancellation of the penalty of sin. So all the prophets witnessed of the coming of the Christ before he came into the world. In the Psalms and in the other prophets and books that spoke of the coming one who was to be the one who was to come and die for the sins of man. The Lord Jesus was not a created being like some groups like to falsely teach. There are some that say the Lord Jesus was created. The Lord Jesus, 60 times in the New Testament, says that he came from above to become man. He came into this world. He existed before he became a baby. He existed and he came into the world through the virgin birth, free from sin, because there was not an earthly father. So a virgin brought the Lord Jesus into the world. The Holy Spirit came into her womb, and the Lord Jesus came to die. All the prophets gave witness that he was to come into the world for the salvation of man. And the apostles were witnesses to all the things which the Lord Jesus did. And so they were the ones that went forth to tell of the one who came, who died on the cross, and that he came so that we could be saved. So now, after we have received the witness of men, and we believe in Jesus Christ, we become saved. We receive the witness of God, which is greater. We receive the Holy Spirit at the moment we are saved. In the book of Ephesians, it says that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. We are children of God. We belong unto Him. We were purchased. We were purchased, and we heard quite a few times this morning that we were redeemed, that we were purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the payment for our sin, was the precious blood that was shed so that we could be saved. So we receive the witness of man. We receive the witness of God, which is greater. The Holy Spirit comes in and seals us, and then we become witnesses to men. I want to go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Now, some of us, we've heard these scriptures many times before. So 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, or any woman, so if any be in Christ, so that's when you get saved, you become in Christ. He is a new creature or a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, several times this morning, we heard the word reconcile in our earlier time together. God has brought us back to himself through his Son, Jesus Christ. We were enemies, and he has reconciled us unto himself when we believe in Jesus Christ and we're born from above, or saved, or born of God's Spirit, whichever term you want to use. We become a new creature. We have been reconciled to God. And in verse 18, so we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. So there's the message. There's the appeal to all those around our lives to be reconciled to God. It says we're ambassadors for Christ. That means we're representatives for Christ, our King, before men. Each one who is saved, who has received God's gift of eternal life, is a minister of the reconciliation, an ambassador for Christ. And in verse 21, for he, God, the Father, has made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So God the Father made Jesus to be sin for us. All the penalty that we deserved fell upon the Lord Jesus. He bore our sins in his own body to the tree, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We are not righteous in ourselves. There's nothing good in us. Our righteousness is only in Jesus Christ. He is our life. What he accomplished was given to us, those who come before God, admit they're a sinner, ask God to forgive us, and come into our life. We become saved, we become his children, and now we become a representative, and we tell other people. We become a witness, we testify to what has happened in our life. It's not religion. It's a new birth, or the term it being born again. I personally don't like to use that term quite so often. There's other groups that I hear now that say born again this, born again that. I like the term born from above, or born of God's Spirit. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15, it says that we are to shine as, in one text it says, as luminaries in the world, or in the King James Version it says we are to shine as lights, holding forth the word of life. It's not my words. I only relate my testimony to other people, that something happened inside of me. I believe I got saved. I didn't understand it. And four people had to explain it to me over a period of a couple years. But when I humbled myself before God, I believe something happened inside of me, and that's why I tell other people. I like to tell other people how to be saved. I like to tell other people that Jesus paid the penalty. There's lots of lost people in this world. They don't know where to turn. They have no hope. They're lost. Their life is near the end. I've seen many of my workmates get hurt very seriously. Some of them have died. Some that I've spoken to refused the gospel. Some had a very sad ending. We can't save people, but we can point them to Jesus. He saves. If they humble themselves and ask Jesus to come into their life, they can have a new life, as we just read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We become a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It's a new beginning. Whose voice do we listen to in this world? There's all kinds of politicians that'll give you all kinds of good answers. You get sick and tired of listening to different people that think they know what's right, what's wrong. In John chapter 18 and verse 37, the Lord Jesus said, "He who is of the truth heareth my voice." In John chapter 10 and verse 27, the Lord Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father who gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of the hand of my Father. I and my Father are one." The Lord Jesus wants us to listen to what his voice is speaking to us. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, the Lord Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me." He says, to open the door of your heart. He wants to come into our life. He wants to save us. "If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me." He wants us to become his child. He wants us to be saved. There's many people in and around our lives that we yearn for to be saved. Sometimes 10, 20, 30, 40 years. We trust in the Lord Jesus. I just want to read a couple more scriptures. I see I'm over. And then we'll ask the Lord's blessing. In Psalm 126, it says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goes forth in weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." When we sow God's word to those around us, our loved ones, our workmates, one day the seed of God's word will germinate and they will be saved. When we trust in the Lord Jesus, we receive his salvation. God's word is the seed. "He that goes forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." And I just want to leave you with this verse that I keep close to me. And it's in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14, talking about the angels. "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" I believe that the God in heaven sends angels to those who shall be heirs of salvation, as it says here in Hebrews 1:14. When we pray to the Lord Jesus, we yearn for those around us, our workmates and friends and loved ones. We wait on him. It's his time, not ours. We trust in God that before they die, they'll be saved, because we only have this life. "As it is appointed unto man once to die, after this the judgment." We don't know when we're going to die. So if there's anybody here that doesn't understand how to be saved, there's many of us here that would love to help you. Make sure in your heart that you know that you're saved. So when you leave this world, you're going to be with the Lord Jesus. You don't have to pay the penalty for your sins. He's already paid it. Father, we thank you again for your precious word. We thank you that you sent your dear Son so that we could be saved. I pray that your word would touch the lives and hearts of each one of us. You have made us your children through faith in Jesus. We thank you that he paid the price. We just pray for each and every one here that they too would know, truly know in their heart that they are saved and rejoice in your salvation. We just bow before you and thank you and give the Lord Jesus all the glory. And we thank you in his name. Amen.